Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Wow. I don't even know what day it is, but I know it's Monday. And we are once again remote on our podcast. So here's what we're going to cover today. We got a lot to cover. When we started this this whole coronavirus and the impact that it has on the economy and the capital markets, we kind of set a guidepost to split the analysis between the financial system, the capital markets, and the economy. So we're going to cover some of what's happening in the economy, and then highlight what the Fed's done last week through their detail of their support program. And then we're going to cover, we got earnings coming up starting this week, and we've made some changes in the sector models. And then we got an announcement from OPEC on production cuts. So it's a busy morning here. So let's hit some highlights. First off, economic growth, as best as we can calculate right now, we're looking at second quarter 2020 to be down close to 10%. So we're seeing numbers all over the board. But the way that we're looking at it is it's a $21 trillion economy. We're looking at about a $2 trillion hit. So it's at this point, on an annualized basis, we're estimating something close to 10%. And that's net of the support that we're going to talk about here in a second. But this is an expensive bailout. And from a context standpoint, we have to remember that after the financial crisis, the government provided significant support, which increased our debt burden. We increased our debt burden $14 trillion over the course of 10 years just to support that bailout. So that is coming down. I mean, this bailout is coming on the heels of never really fully recovering from the expense of bailing out the economy after the financial crisis in 2008. Our GDP, our debt load to GDP ratio is going to move probably from 100% to close to 120% when all is said and done. Probably it'd be between 116 and 120. And we're going to start to hear some narrative around the potential for a downgrade in the credit rating of the U.S. government. Now, we are in a better position than other developed countries to absorb this hit, including Japan and Europe. And we've got a piece coming out this week on the hit that Europe's going to take. And the risk there is that they can't hold it together, that the countries, the fiscally sound countries in the northern region are really challenged supporting the economies of the southern countries, including Italy and Spain. And so that's a whole separate discussion. But let's talk a little bit about the programs that the Fed's got in place. So part of this economic support is based on the CARE Act, which is a $2.3 trillion fiscal policy that's going to be administered largely through the Federal Reserve. This changes the role, in our opinion, of the Federal Reserve to a modern, what we call a modern central banker. This is beyond the traditional role of what a central banker does. In central banker that has a dual mandate, our central bank has a dual mandate to control price stability and maintain full employment in the economy. This is one now where we've really have a support role in supporting the capital markets. Number of different programs, including municipal liquidity facility that provides lending directly to states and municipalities. There's a term asset-backed securities facility where the Fed will purchase AAA tranches of collateralized mortgage-backed securities and collateralized loan obligations. That's a lot of code for they're going to support the structured securities market at the AAA, the highest quality tranche level. That doesn't mean that we're going to see doesn't mean that we're not going to see bankruptcies take place. But that does provide support from a liquidity standpoint, which is really, really needed in the credit markets. And that's in addition to the programs that have already been announced, which includes the $700 billion in purchases of U.S. Treasuries and mortgage-backed securities onto the balance sheet. So we're seeing tremendous support from the Federal Reserve to buy credit onto its balance sheet, which provides both liquidity support as well as just an overall support. And we're going to talk a little bit about what happened in the investment grade credit markets over the last couple of weeks. So with that, that's kind of unpacking just the context of where we're at. And we do think that the capital markets are going to move independently of the economy and the news and the coronavirus as we kind of work our way through this now. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Freddie to kick us off on earnings this week and talk about sectors.
Thanks, Greg. So the schedule for earnings this week is the most financials, but Tuesday, Johnson & Johnson, J.P. Morgan, and Wells Fargo report. Wednesday, Bank of America, Citigroup, Goldman, and Morgan Stanley. And then Thursday, BlackRock ends off the week. So there's some earnings to look out for. Moving towards our sector discussion, consumer discretionary, we are underweight here. Companies have high debt levels and are riskier picks if cash flow turns negative. And with low consumer confidence, most consumer spending is going to be focused towards necessities, as Adam will point out in consumer staples. And then finally, 20% of this sector is in hotels, restaurants, and leisure, which will see the most significant earnings declines coming from the virus. Next up on healthcare, we are overweight. Reasons to be optimistic here. You have the defensive characteristics with low leverage, sustainable cash flows, and dividends in the recession. And the pandemic will also support earnings with more spending from consumers and governments in healthcare segments. And at the same time, the regulatory concerns that the sector has faced over the last few years is going to decrease with the effort to combat the virus. Next up on industrials, we're overweight here. The government is going to help in any way they can to make sure companies in the sector remain in good shape. As we mentioned last week with Lockheed Martin, we're seeing a lot of stimulus and bailouts. We do continue to prefer defense in the sector, with constant tensions making defense attractive and spending in the area higher than ever. So with that, I'm going to shift over to Charlie to talk about energy.
Thanks, Freddie. Yep, so I have energy and materials here. These are two of the smallest weighted sectors of the S&P 500. Energy, we are neutral. Energy currently makes up 2.85% of the S&P 500. The sector is down 44% from January 7th highs, but also 44% from March 18th lows. So given the volatility with crude oil prices and the recent rally in the sector, risk is too high to take an overweight here, but low overall weight of the index makes it comfortable to take an equal weighting with energy. And then materials, we are underweight. Materials in the small sector, checking in at just over 2.5% of the S&P 500. The sector has had pretty good performance, only being down 16% from January 17th highs, and it's up 34% from March 23rd lows. Given demand shock to commodity metals and chemicals, and relatively strong performance, we see this being better suited to use in another sector. I'll send over to Adam with the rest of the sectors.
So in staples, we are moving from underweight to overweight. The consumer behavior that has occurred through the virus, we believe, is going to continue. You better believe that Clorox wipes will probably be on the grocery list of this generation for a long time coming. So we like the low volatility and the high dividend of the sector, so we have moved to overweight. Information technology, we're staying overweight and actually increasing that overweight bias. In a world where cash is king, technology actually leads the pack in both cash flow and cash on the balance sheet, so they can weather this storm a little bit better than any other sectors. In a way, tech has turned into the kind of the more defensive play. We're seeing spending... corporate spending on printers, computers, webcams, you name it, as a way to build infrastructure for offsite work, pickup. It is very, very difficult to even find some of these things right now there because the demand has been so high. In communication services, same thing. We are moving to a slightly even more overweight. Much like hardware, the push to working from home has led to an increased spending in cloud-based infrastructure. So you're seeing that like Microsoft, where you're spending money on Teams or Zoom, anything where you're having to collaborate from home, that technology is going to lead that sector. utilities. We are holding a market weight. We like the income that this sector provides. We think that income right now is really important as we're trying to manage volatility. While the markets have rebounded in the last week or so, we think volatility is still going to stick around for a while. So that income component of the portfolio is very important to reducing overall volatility and risk of the portfolio. Financials, we are moving to underweight. So as we move into the downturn of this credit cycle, we'll see consumer delinquencies pick up. More and more consumers are living off of their credit card right now. So we think that we'll see delinquency rates pick up there. And, you know, on the other side, you'll see charge-offs from banks pick up. We're also going, because of this downturn in the credit cycle, you're going to see lower interest rates for longer, which will continue to put pressure on margins of banks and insurance companies. So moving to underweight there from a market neutral, and then in real estate, we're moving further underweight. Same thing. We're here in the late stages of the credit cycle. And as different states are moving towards 90-day or longer moratoriums on mortgage payments or rent payments, those landlords or those mortgage owners are going to have a hard time absorbing those losses. There will be some bailouts, I'm sure, but this is not going to bode well for the real estate sector. And additionally, we believe that while the dividend of the sector seems high right now, that those are not sustainable, and we'll see cuts across that sector and dividends here in the short term. So those are the changes that we've made across our sector allocations. You'll see that both in our models and in our equity strategies as we shift here in this quarter. Shifting over to fixed income and credit markets. So Greg hit on, you know, the actions that the Fed is taking. So to put that into numbers on Thursday, which was a shortened day for bond markets. But after the announcement of the Fed, we saw corporate credit really perform. So investment grade ETFs were up over 5%. High yield ETFs were up 6 and 7%. And then name specifics, we saw forward bonds. These are 30-year forward bonds were up over 20 points. So they went from $57 to $78 in price. That's a significant gains. They were obviously really beaten up coming into the week. And then energy names like Continental Resources and Occidental Petroleum were up 15, 20%. Charlie can speak to this a little bit more in depth, but I saw some of those energy bonds up 30 points. So as the Fed steps in and is going to support credit markets, we saw a lot of names really perform, bounce back, names that really were looking like they were in default territory. So with that, I'll turn it over to Charlie to talk about energy and high yield debt.
Thanks. Yeah, the Fed saying they're going to buy high yield credits that were investment grade on March 22nd really helped companies like Ford and Occidental. I'll hit on energy first. So despite a huge rally in energy stocks, WTI crude oil actually fell over $5.50 a barrel. That's about 20%. But the big news was that after 4 days of negotiating, OPEC Plus finalized a 9.7 million barrels per day supply cut in concert with the United States over the weekend. That cut goes into effect on May 1st. So it kind of remains to be seen how this is going to affect energy markets. Right now, the price on crude oil is relatively muted. We have WTI up about 1% this morning. And actually, Brent oil was down. But demand is still going to drive the market for oil. And with the coronavirus, we're still seeing demand much lower than pre-crisis levels. If anything, this should give energy investors some relief, knowing that there isn't going to be an all-out energy war between Saudis, Russians, and the United States, but hasn't done a whole lot more on top of that. In high yield, this has probably been one of the best weeks in recent memory. High yield tightened in over 150 bips, basically all on the back of that Fed news that we have spoken about earlier. And I'll bring it back to Greg to close.
So before we close, the question that we get from both financial advisors and clients is, what healthcare company is leading the pack on the coronavirus, the work. So the, I think it's Eli Lilly, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson, from what I've read, all have products, pharmaceuticals that are going into clinical trials or are well along the way to help with the combating the virus. Freddie, do you have any insight into that?
Yeah, you hit on the few main giant cap companies. The one I'd add is probably Gilead. They just had released data from their trials, and it looks really, really promising from what I've seen.
Everything I'm reading too is we're still a long way away, but they're rushing them into clinical trials, and there's expectations that there'll be a group of like 10 pharma companies that are dealing with that will have some antidote or some process to help with dealing with the consequences of the virus. That's what I'm my understanding of it. Am I missing it? Some like 10 companies.
Yeah, that's correct.
But we should start to hear by summer. I think the expectation is we should start to make some headway in that area, wouldn't you think?
Definitely, and the FDA has really relaxed their approval requirements as well. we're definitely going to see progress soon.
So, from an investor standpoint, what we are really trying to guide investors is to be patient, to avoid knee-jerk responses, to try to avoid timing the market. We think that the capital markets are going to start to disassociate from what's going on in the economy. And whenever we see aggressive fiscal stimulus and aggressive monetary stimulus, which we've got right now, 6 months later, historically, 6 months later, financial assets prices are higher. And so that's kind of where we want to bet on the side of our rich uncle, which is the Federal Reserve, and which in this new post-financial crisis type of capital markets, this is fundamentals do matter, but so does the Fed buying onto its balance sheet. So that'll provide a real strong backstop, we think, to financial assets. However, there are still going to be challenges. Retail is going to be challenged. Commercial mortgage loans, that whole commercial mortgage loan sector is going to be challenging here over the next two or three quarters. So some places to watch. So with that, this week, we expect to put out our weekly insights. We should have the second quarter 2020 economic outlook coming out this week. And then we've got two separate research pieces, one that describes the Federal Reserve and its programs. And then the second is a brief analysis of Europe and what's going on there. So it's a heavy, heavy week this week. So hopefully that's helpful for all of you guys. So with that, we're gonna end this. You guys have a great week. Take care. Bye-bye.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.